Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to a late start of Full Spectrum Radio, because Blog Talk sucks. I am back with the orange status. What's going on, man?
Oh, man. Let's just say that Kathy Tyson over at Support Operator for Blog Talk Radio is a little less than pleased with me at the moment. Yeah, I don't think she's really happy with me. Let's see. I started out, I went through, by the way, brother, hey, good to talk to you again. So I start out, I click on the help thing, automatically it gives me this window of, hey, enter all this shit, you know, how many pubic hairs do you have? Are your testicles hanging left or hanging right? Not real thrilled with all that, but then it goes, what's your problem? Okay, well, I said, enter host pin and pound sign, system sets 5 seconds, hangs up. She goes, hi there, we're having some site issues now that the techs are working on. Please stand by for a few minutes until we get an update. I do apologize. Well, that's wonderful. Now, here I am with however many, fives or hundreds or thousands of listeners. I have no idea. And it didn't really answer jack shit for me. So I go, shall I just put a general post that Blog Talk has screwed up again and that our episode will not air again due to the servers? She goes, we do not know at this point what the exact issue is. It has something to do with our telephony system. Estimated time of repair? We're still waiting on an ETA from the techs. That was pretty much it. So, we get extended time tonight. But, yeah, it's been a great week. I do love playing with electronics. I do love playing with systems like this where you have no control. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, what you have to understand is we don't know what the hell is going to happen from time to time. It's electronics. A server goes down, a memory chip goes bad, and all hell breaks loose. We've all got computers. We all know what happens. You know, it's frustrating as hell when you've got guests waiting to call in, you've got show to run. So here we are.
Well, appreciate you getting it worked out because I couldn't find anything when I was looking on there of who the hell to contact. So, and I was texting with Paranormal Outlaw, and he was out to dinner. So he's like, there's not much I can do. But
yeah, I actually called him, and you know, and then it went to text, and he's like, look, I'm getting ready to run in the door. And I'm like, we just launched. We're good. So here we are, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another awesome episode of Full Spectrum Radio.
Yeah.
You never know what the hell this is going to become.
If Blog Talk allows us to do it,
yeah,
system.
Now, it's not a matter of the bills being paid. It's not a matter of whether we're good guys or bad guys. It's a matter of Tronics from time to time take a shit, and well, you just have to run behind them with a handy wipe and do your best.
Well, this is kind of what annoys me, is Kool-Aid was able to launch no problem.
Who was?
Kool-Aid. Paranormal Kool-Aid. Christmas show?
Yeah.
Yep. Same time as us. They launched on time with no issues.
Well, here's my issue. Why are you listening to Paranormal Kool-Aid when you can be listening to Cool Ass?
No, I was listening, or I was looking online to see if, on Facebook, to see if they were posting if they were having any problems or not. And, yeah, I wasn't listening to them. I just was seeing if they were posting anything, and what they were posting is, we're live now. Come listen to us. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, well. You know what? It is what it is, brother. It's all good. But, hey, I do have something totally awesome. Supermoon. Did you catch it?
The supermoon?
Yeah.
I don't mean literally catch it.
I mean, did you get the chance to go out over the weekend and see the supermoon?
I don't believe that I did. I actually know that I have heard nothing about supermoon until now.
Really?
Yes.
All right. Well, you need
I'm
to
not familiar with supermoon.
Or something. You need to get smaller rocks or something to live under. Supermoon is the moon was at one of its closest distances to Earth in, I don't know how damn long. Apparently, there's another one coming up in August, and then we won't see it for probably another 30 years. Just do a Google search for, you know, images, supermoon, and you'll be stumped. I mean, some of them are just absolutely phenomenal. It looks like this thing is right off the coast, and you get to watch it, you know, as the moon comes up. But photographically and visually, size-wise, it is the largest that we're going to see it for another 35 years. Or, you know, for me, it's probably the largest and the closest that it will be in my lifetime. I've seen how I live. I'm not stupid. I mean, to me, it was amazing, bro. Check out, I saw one picture of, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with the Seattle Space Needle.
Yeah.
Okay. I saw one picture that was obviously shooting towards the west. The Space Needle is in the forefront. The supermoon is in the background. And it fully envelops the Space Needle and just makes it kind of look tiny. And to me, that has a deeply personal meaning because one of the places that my parents visited before I was born, they actually lived in Seattle. When they first got married, they moved to Seattle. Well, It's not like they went, hey, let's flip a coin and where do we want to go? Uncle Sam said, hey, by the way, you're moving to Seattle. And my parents went, okay. It wasn't like they had an option. I got the chance when I was 19 to go to Seattle. Now, my parents had long been in, my dad was the one that was in the military. I went because of the hazardous waste company that I worked for. They shipped me to Seattle. So I got to stand somewhere that my parents were standing at 19 years earlier. Actually, it was almost 21 years earlier, like 2 years before I was even born. So I got to see what they talked about. It was definitely cool. And then to see that picture of the Seattle Space Needle that, you know, most people don't think twice about, but it has a really deep meaning for me because it was somewhere that my parents thought was awesome. And I have a ceramic platter from when they were there in the before I was born. but they have a ceramic platter, and now that Mom and Dad are both gone, you know, I get to look back in time and see where they were at. But, you know, it's kind of strange, man. Something as strange as this supermoon, and I don't know how often it comes around. I don't know how many people actually get the chance to see it. But pretty flipping cool. You know, I got to see something and stand where my parents stood before I was even born, before I was even conceived. And here I am. They're both gone. And I get to see this same exact thing as a magnificent photograph that will probably be around when my grandkids are around because this picture was so damn cool. Look up Space Needle / or Space Needle Supermoon, something like that, on most of the photography sites, you know, like Flickr and I don't know all of them, but even do a Google search on it, and I'll bet you'll find it. And I got to stand in the exact spot where my parents stood. And then I got to see it. Well, Dad's been gone just over 8 years. And to me, the fact that that picture crossed my news feed was just proof that they're coming back to talk to me every now and again in subtle ways and go, hey, we're still with you.
Well, that's cool on a few different levels. I mean, that you were able to put all that, that the way you put it together, that it means what it means to you. And that association is like very heartwarming for you and probably true in other levels as well.
Yeah, well, and, you know, that brings me to one of the topics that I want to talk about tonight, and we're going to get into that in a little while. Lyle Lotz from Twisted Paranormal Society is going to join us again. And in the plugs, I mentioned remote viewing, and it kind of leads us into that psychic abilities, remote viewing, mediumship, ability to talk to the deceased, you know, things that most people kind of blow off and disregard.
Oh, Dennis, real real quick, Ryan sent me a message. There is another supermoon on September 9th.
There we go. I told you there was another one coming. I thought it was August, but it's September 9th. But, Matt, you have to tote your ass out on a boat. Put your dinghy in the dinghy and go out on the Chicago
Ooh.
River and just take pictures, dude. It is phenomenal just to see a super moon because, you know, we all look at the moon each night and, you know, provided cloud doesn't cover it and so forth. And we're like, okay, well, let's say a place that's 93 million miles away. I will never get there. But when you look at it during a supermoon event, it doesn't look nearly that damn far away. It looks phenomenal that you can actually reach out and touch it. It looks that much more lively. It looks that much more realistic. It looks that much more that it's part of your world and not just something that we take for granted. We take water for granted. We take air for granted. It was low 90s today. I took the sun for granted today. Of course, I kind of cursed it too because I had to mow my damn yard. These things that we take for granted, maybe we need to slow down and we need to step back and we need to look at them and we need to actually absorb them for what they are because they are something magnificent in our world. I have something magnificent in my world in the fact that I can talk to the deceased. Now, and I told my wife tonight that, you know, we've mentioned it several times. We kind of touch on my abilities. We've never actually detailed my abilities, being able to remote view. We've given like one or two stories here or there about what I've done. But I want to bring in somebody that I actually did a remote view for, specifically for them on a investigation that they hadn't told me jack shit about, that we hadn't even actually talked much prior to me doing this. He was on our show one night, and towards the end of the show, I started telling him things that I picked up about him. And he mentioned a investigation that was forthcoming for his team. And it's Lyle Lotz over at Twisted Paranormal Society. And I want to make sure that I give them enough plugs. I'm calling in live now, but Lyle, I'll be right with you.
Okay, but
this man, the knowledge in this field is wonderful. His team works very well together. They're obviously very well practiced. But I don't think I'm stretching the bounds when I say I blew his ass away when I did a remote view on a location that he hadn't even talked about yet and that we definitely hadn't talked about. And the only thing that I can say is I spoke to Spirit, and Spirit gave me answers and showed me that location. Lyle, welcome to the show, brother, Twisted Paranormal Society. How are you tonight?
Hey, doing good, guys. You know, I always love being here with you.
What's going on, Lyle, man? How's your week been?
Oh, it's been going good, Matt. How are you doing, buddy?
You know what? I can't complain. So, hold on. All right, I had to knock on the wood because I was nervous of what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So far from the weekend up until now has been phenomenal across the board. So hopefully keep up with this pattern.
Yeah, I love your seeing your pictures out there in Chicago.
Oh, it was. That's one thing that I love is that a lot of people don't get to see is Chicago from the water.
Right.
So, I mean, you'll see the bridges, you'll see this, that, and the other thing. I probably took, let's say, close to 60 pictures. That was only three of them that I posted so far.
Yeah.
So, I didn't want to do a full album yet, but there'll be more coming up soon.
Well, if we ever come out that way, I'll have to go out on a boat with you.
Yeah, just make sure it's in the summertime.
Definitely.
April and May and October, it's horrible.
Okay. Yeah, last time I was there, it was the beginning of February, and it was like 2 or 3 below every day. So it was cold.
Pretty accurate. That sounds about right.
Yeah. Now, Matt Lyle was having a wonderful evening until we interrupted him. Lyle, what has your evening been about?
The wife had the little one for a while this evening. So, we've been learning how to take care of our little grandson and helping our daughter out quite a bit. So, that's a new thing for me. It's been a long time since we've had a little one around. But that's what the evening was like.
So, do you still remember to aim the missile away when you change the covering? When you change the diaper, do you not let it aim near you?
You know what? I haven't, believe it or not, I haven't had to change any diapers yet.
You're not getting the fun part, man.
No, I'm not getting the fun part all the way yet. Tana keeps pushing me out of the way.
The first night that we had Liam here, my grandson, who is now 8 months old, the first time that we had him here, but apparently he and I have bonded for some reason. I am definitely grandpa, and I am the man. But he'll be throwing a royal bitch fit when grandma has him, grandpa gets him, and man, the world is right. So
yeah.
I got the first diaper duty, and well, it had been almost 25 years since I had changed the diaper. So I forgot thing is on a hair trigger.
Except for your own, though.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, I change mine every day, but it doesn't aim at me. Just
not anymore. Not anymore. You're too old.
Exactly.
They do make drugs for that kind of stuff.
Which, that reminds me, Naomi, if by chance you're listening, the song that I sent you is Rodney Carrington, Dear Penis. And it says, you used to look at me with adoration, now you just look at the floor in sadness. And it's a song between him and his penis. Mine just now looks at the floor in sadness. However, I did discover that if you're changing a diaper, don't assume the same thing. Yeah.
Oh.
I felt really bad. All I hear is my wife hollering, honey, 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 he's peeing on his face. And I go, oh, my God.
We haven't experienced the shower yet. I'm sure it'll be coming.
I mean, there are some things that you just forget about, but there's this poor little guy at this month is probably... I don't know. I think Liam, well, he spent almost 2 months in the NICU because he was 2 months early. So we finally get him home, and, I'm changing his diaper for the first time. At this point, I think he weighed 6.5 pounds, 7 pounds. Yeah. I am impressed, though. For a good part of it, he peed straight up and over his own head. I can't even do that.
Well, I don't know what's worse. Is the fact that you've tried Or that you're envious of it.
That's a theory.
Oh, you almost see sick bastard. Oh, I love it. But, yeah, I hadn't even thought about it. And now one thing that, you know, and if I could jump up on the rooftop from the tallest building, I would do this. Father's Day, I was informed from my other daughter that she is pregnant as well. So I will be a grandfather again.
Well, congratulations.
February, they're looking, he's going to be real close to a Valentine's Day baby. But she sent me the first picture today of, this is the first ultrasound that she had, and it's like, yes, yes. I get to spoil the shit out of another one, and let's see how bad I can turn this. But that was my Father's Day wake-up call, by the way. 7:45 in the morning, I get a call from my daughter, all in tears, distraught. You know, I'm thinking, oh, shit, I got to drive to upstate New York now because he's done something, and I'm going to have to go kick his ass. Well, she tells me happy Father's Day, and I told her, you know, thank you, baby. I appreciate you calling. What the hell is wrong? And she goes, oh, and happy Grandfather's Day, too. I'm like, oh, my God, no, really? Now, they have tried for 2 years. And, you know, they were at the point that they were going to start doing fertilization tests and, you know, semen count tests, and, you know, blow it in a bottle and let's see what's active. And all of a sudden she turns up pregnant. So that's wonderful. So, Jess and Jonathan, actually, let me put this properly. Electricians made first-class Woodward, United States Navy, and my daughter Jessica Woodward. Congratulations. And I can't wait to meet.
Definitely. You know, my daughter had two previous miscarriages before they had this one. So it's been a, you know, we've been through the bad times with her, and now we finally get to enjoy a happy time.
Yep, and that's what terrifies me. You know, they tried so hard for 2 years and always got the, you know, negative on the results and everything. And now they have a positive, and everybody's elated, and I'm horrified that something's going to go wrong. And I'm terribly sorry about your daughter as too, but, you know, I realize this doesn't make up for it, but somewhere in God's plan, I guess if it's going to be, it's going to be.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, one of the things that we have to understand in this field is there's definitely something higher than us. I think I gave you a real good idea of that when I did a remote for you on Mount Eagle Farm, did I not?
Yes, you did, Dennis. That really, in my opinion, that really got our friendship kicked off. You know, the closest we've been is really just talking on your radio show and meeting you that day and then having you come up to the tent and stand there and share what you did about an investigation at a location you've never, ever been to. And then you going there and actually seeing it and putting it together. You know, that was just one thing that, like you said, I think you said it kicked my ass. And that's what it did. It really shocked the heck out of me when I was standing through that thing. So,
can you tell some of what I shared with you 2 weeks before the investigation?
Oh, yeah.
And how you validated that?
Oh, yeah. You, to start off with, you know, how you started it off was you,
you described it as, you know, really being way back off the road, which, you know, this particular plantation farm was probably, I would say it's probably a good mile to a mile and a half off of the main road. You basically pointed out the one of the main trees on the property out in front of the home, which we determined probably had a lot of bad things that happened at it. You know, you described it, at, like you said, at 2 o'clock, the carriage house or the outhouse, which there was one sitting there. You described when you walked in the front door, the second landing. Then you started talking about the spirits in the house. You know, we had been there. We had done an investigation already, so we knew about some of them, but you didn't. And, you know, you started pointing out things there. You found the, you know, how the, gosh, I'm trying to think of the words here, how the foundation, there was a new foundation added to the home. There was actually an older entrance. I'm trying to remember, but I know that's quite a bit of it. There's some more stuff, too, but I think when you got there, you know, you really, the validation for you just really, you know, made my evening, that's for sure. Just to see you go around and walk and just basically see what you saw. So
yeah, it was, and I've got to thank you 1,000 times over just for the invitation to come out to that property. It was an amazing property to begin with. And to be able to do a remote view on the property and have so many things that I saw and was told through my remote view, interact with the spirits that I did interact with doing the remote view.
Yep. Yep.
You know, catching Doc on the SB7 telling me to get fucked.
Yep.
That was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And the EVP that came in with that, you know, if our listeners want to go over to SoundCloud and look up CPR Dennis, you will hear Get F'd. And if you actually listen, you will hear an EVP that comes in that wasn't from the SB7. You'll actually hear a male voice come in that says, "Fuck you." And he has a very sarcastic tone, and then you hear the SB7 itself say, "Get popped." And
yeah.
that I'm certain was Doc. That was while we were in Doc's room. Now, Lyle, would you also like to share with the listeners what I described Doc as and what was later given to you?
You described him more like a tall, lanky man. I think Doc had been, I can't remember, but he had been suffering from, and I can't remember, cirrhosis or something like that in the liver. So, you know, some of the things that happened the first time we went there, they said that Doc was really known for how loud he would moan in the house because of all the pain that he was in. Of course, you know, our promo for that episode has got one of the moans that actually he did. But later, the owner of the property did give us a picture of Doc, tall, lanky man. I think that's what you're referring to, if I'm correct.
Yeah, the description that I gave you versus the photograph that she actually provided. And, you know, I didn't know that the owner of the home was going to be on the property.
Right.
And I didn't know that she was fourth generation that actually lived on the land.
Right.
So to be able to be given a picture of a spirit that I saw, and I actually stood face to face with him. And, you know, I described him. Now, let me ask you this. Lyle, you've been in this for a while, right. At least 2-3 weeks, right?
Yeah, at least 2 or 3 weeks.
Prior to meeting me and me doing this remote view kind of off the cuff, what was your thought at that point about psychic abilities and remote viewing and all of that?
Well, I had never, remote viewing, I had never really heard of until one of your episodes here on Full Spectrum, where you and Matt were talking about one of his. And that really caught my attention. I don't know if I think I was just in the chat that night. And so that really caught my attention a lot. You know, there are a variety of medium sensitives out there, and they all have their own different ways that they communicate with everybody. I've got two different ones on the team that communicate in different ways. And then, of course, then having you do your way. So after listening to the episode that you guys were talking about one of Matt's investigations, I was like, man, I want to, you know, test you and see if this works. And like I said, I should never even, well, I'm glad I did, because it started a great friendship, by the way, and, you know, and I just appreciate that. I hope to be able to do more of that with you, actually. So I've got another location that, you know, I'll get with you on another time that I want you to see if you can climb into it eventually. And then we'll give pure validation again, hopefully.
Well, since you work with psychics on your team as well, what was their opinion of what Dennis did? I'm sure you guys probably talked about it afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
And
actually, one of them was at the event that Dennis came to. And actually, I remember, I think that, I can't remember if Dickie was there with us or if it was just Tana and I, but, you know, I think they were just as blown away by what Dennis had shared, because, you know, they had been, even though they weren't on either one of the investigations that we did there, they were there for the initial walkthrough of the location. And so they knew the home, and they knew when Dennis was talking about what he was talking about. So, but, you know, and I think they have great respect for him with that ability.
If I remember right, she walked up as we were finishing our conversation.
Right, okay.
The spirit that led me through was kind of one of the fleeting, and this is one of the strange, I don't know how to explain what I do. And if any of our listeners can actually explain it, by all means, call in 323-580-5703. What I did basically was I just kind of opened myself up to spirit to tell me what the hell he was talking about, because all he said was, we have a investigation coming up. And my first question was, you mean the farmhouse?
Right.
Well, then I started getting all these snap images. Then I was literally seeing myself walking through the house. And it was like I had somebody that was, well, it kind of felt like a tour guide was walking me through. And I do remember describing that individual to you.
Yes.
I also remember telling you about walking in the doc's room and getting told, with him running at me, to quote-unquote
yeah.
get the fuck out.
Yeah. He even did that before you were there.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was just in the remote view. I remember telling you about the hidden space in the basement. It was kind of like I was on a tour of the location, even though I was, shit, I don't know, what were we, 75 miles away from it? and 2 weeks out from me ever going there, you know, it was definitely, and the more that I do this, and I absolutely love doing it, so teams, if you have an investigation coming up, call me, message me, hey, I've got this coming up. Is there, you know, do you see anything? I don't see everything. Don't get me wrong. I am far from perfected in this field. And sometimes I think the best way that I can open up, and this is no bullshit, is through a couple of beers. It just opens me up a little more. Lyle, you've seen this.
Yeah.
You've seen what I can do. Now, when I was at the Boxwood and I told you about Mountain Eagle Farm, I had had 2 beers. I'm not going to lie. But it's one of those things that I still yet, even though I do it, and even though I see spirit, even though I can talk to spirit from time to time, I haven't figured out exactly why or how. I certainly welcome spirit to talk to me.
Right.
I think it's fascinating as hell. But it doesn't mean that it's going to happen every single time. And I was actually working on one tonight, and the spirit that I was in contact with, when I asked her age, I was told 35, but I heard like a little giggle in the background. And as strange as it seems, I knew I wasn't talking to a 35-year-old woman.
Right.
I picked from the voice and from the picture that I saw of her to be about 65, 70, somewhere around there. Turned out the woman was 68 when she passed. Go ahead, Matt.
I was just going to say, apparently in death, women still lie about their age.
Oh, yeah, they do. So do men. So do men. But I have been lied to blatantly many times from the dead that I speak to. A lot of the time, I don't know if it's actually that they're lying to us or if it's that this is what they remember or want to remember, or if they want to be perceived as this. Now, Lyle, you've gotten EVPs before where you just had to go, what? That just doesn't make any damn sense at all.
They don't make sense. Yeah, I have.
As far as, you know, you're trying to talk to a specific person, but you hear a voice that comes back and says, yes, this is me, but it doesn't sound anything like what you anticipated it to sound like.
Right. I actually have one of those things.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I think spirit has the ability to project itself as whatever it wants. We've all heard of mimicking. You are in one area of a location and you catch an EVP of a member of your team that's way the hell away from you, but you catch them on your recorders in that area, in your area, where they're nowhere near. And that's mimicking. Now, is that demonic? No. Is that them trying to learn, train? Maybe. We've spoken with Bishop James Long many times. We've spoken with Christina Rake many times. Both of them are trained in demonology. Both of them admit that a huge percentage of the time there's no demonic activity active. A very small percentage of the time is there actually demonic activity. And I'm going to lay it back in your lap again, Lyle. One of the things that I guess my remote viewing did for you was teach you that there is remote viewing and psychic communication available. What was your thought before that, or have you even correlated that to the demonic or anything else? Or have you just left it as...
I didn't relate it to anything demonic or anything like that. I just see that people have abilities. There's many out there. Some feel like you can trust, some you can't. But I've never related it that way at all.
I recently had a guy, I'm going to leave him nameless, but sent me a friend request on Facebook, and when you look through Facebook and you just start typing in medium, there's hundreds of thousands of people that claim to be mediums. And this guy sends me an instant message, and it says, thank you for the friend request. I said, no problem. Like, what do you do? And he goes, well, I can read people. I get images, and I can do remote. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. Then he sends me, well, CPR, do you have paranormal activity in your home? I sent back, nope. And he goes, okay, so why are we friends then? I'm like, shouldn't you know that? and he sent back, and he just sent back, huh? I said, well, you sent me a friend request. You asked me if I had paranormal activity. You said you do remote reading, so shouldn't you know? And I was instantly blocked. But, like, all right, so this guy sends a request, and then he starts asking me questions about the stuff, which I didn't even prompt him to ask.
Right.
Well, if he asks if there's paranormal activity in my house, and I say no, was he, like, oh, shit, I guess I screwed up. Or what? Like, I've come across it so many times that people claim to have abilities and are just ridiculously off. You saw that video I posted, but
I did. It
the
was
woman
funny
that was on the
shit.
News.
The newscaster.
Yeah, that's the way he is. Like, he's very cynical. He's very direct, and he'll call you out if he thinks you're full of shit. So. Cool. Yeah, he's local to Chicago, but yeah, if you go look at my page, I don't know if you saw it or not, but if you scroll down a little bit, it's posted by ABC7 News, I think, which is local here.
Okay.
But yeah, he just tears this woman apart on air.
Oh,
like, when
yeah.
Talking about readings and stuff, it's like, and I was actually kind of nervous to post it with how many friends that I have who I know do have abilities. I thought it would be offensive. But it's actually really damn funny.
Here's why I didn't find it offensive. I don't pick out just general bullshit. If I'm able to get a read on you, I don't pick out, I have like your aunt is coming through. Yeah, she's really strong. She has like blondish brown hair. You know, I don't pick out vague generalities like that. That's what they call parlor tricks.
Yeah.
Those are the neon mediums.
Who was that guy, John? That was John, well, the guy who had the TV show.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what the hell was it?
Over with John something. I can't remember his name.
And he ended up coming out saying that it was all a sham and it was all a fraud.
Yeah, it was all parlor tricks. Well,
no, he would interview people, or he'd have his production company or production team pull people aside and get the info and then feed it to them.
Okay. Now, Lyle?
Yes.
Your respectability on the line. Is there any way that I would have known about that location? And is there any way that I would have been able to come up with the information that I did on that location?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
That's why, and I'll go all the way back to the very first time you had us on your show back in, I think it was in November of last year. And, you had a little bit more of the team on the radio show that night, but... I stayed over into your archives that night, and I almost had to get off of the archives. And actually, I did. I ran from the archives because you started telling me stuff about a family member of mine that you knew nothing about. And it scared the shit out of me. I'll be honest. I've been told that. I'm not going to lie to you. It really did. Because I told Tom the next morning, I said, you're not going to believe this. So that started my intrigue with you guys and you. That's why I like to listen in as much as I can to you, because I feel like I learn a lot from you. And, but also great friendships, too. But validation, that the very first remote reading you did for us, the validation thing was something I was like, it's got to happen for you. So, and it did, and it was awesome. And you will be a big part of our episode when we put that one together. So you'll probably be the star of that one.
Don't make us any bigger.
You'll get your agent ready for that one, Dennis.
I don't have an agent.
don't
I'm screwed. If I don't have an agent, does that mean I can't be on?
No.
I mean, no, wait. I got Formula 409. Is that, like, similar to an agent? I mean, Agent Orange, 409.
Yeah.
I did not. I did not mean to scare the shit out of you that night. And I do recall the one thing that I told you was I remember speaking with what I think I told you was your aunt. And she said it's going to be okay and it's going to go all the way.
Yes.
Is that what?
And that may have been, you may have been giving us a picture view of, the troubles that our daughter had, because she and my daughter were very close. And she knew that my daughter had went through what she had been through. So maybe this may have been some kind of confirmation that she was sending through you to us that, like you said, it'll go all the way.
I had no flipping clue what it meant when I said it'll go all the way.
Right.
But I had no clue. What I didn't know at that point was that your daughter had already lost two babies.
Right.
What I should have told you was, you know, I saw a lot of blue around what I was getting. And these are things that I'm starting to learn, and this is what I was saying earlier in the show, where I'm starting to develop understanding of what I actually get, everything that I get. Like, I have, at this point, I'm starting a poll, and I'm going to start a pool, actually, on whether my daughter has a son or daughter. Because the moment that she told me that she was having a baby and that the pee in a stick thing was positive, the first thing that I said was blue. And I will stand by that until, now the heart rate right now,
right,
at 8 weeks is 179. So that's high for a incubating male. I don't know what the hell you call her 8 week old baby at this point is 179. So I'm not real certain, honestly, what the hell that actually means. But I do know that the first thing that I saw was blue. Now, Sarah LaBrie, she was, Matt, do you remember when she started her pool? And I said the first thing that I see is a sombrero and I see a male. What was she?
Yeah.
6 weeks. And I told her it was going to be a male. And she said, well, I'm carrying it funny to be a male. And I went, well, I don't care how you're carrying it. It's a male. What did Sarah have?
She had a boy, Aiden.
Exactly.
That wasn't
the,
well,
by
wasn't
the way,
that
congratulations,
a
Sarah, on the honeymoon and the wedding and everything else. And you're just as beautiful as ever, honey. And the little guy is adorable. Oh, my God, has he got such gorgeous eyes.
Yeah.
Of course, that was not a shock. I've seen his mom.
Yeah, exactly. No, wasn't when you said that, wasn't that when we were at Parafest?
No, I think she was on air with us a week after Parafest. Because she didn't even know at Parafest that she was pregnant, I don't think.
No, she did.
Well, it wasn't shared with me. Not that I recall. No, wait. The last day of Parafest, it was shared with me. You're right. And that's when that we were in my truck going back to the hotel, taking them back to their hotel on the way back to ours.
Yeah.
And that's when I told her that I saw that it was going to be a boy. And, was that right? Was that right? Yes, ladies and gentlemen,
yeah.
I was right. Yeah.
Well, apparently this has turned into a How Awesome Am I, My Name is Dennis show.
No.
I'm kidding.
I
got to bust your stones, man.
If you don't believe in the abilities, you really need to talk to somebody that has them. You know, it's amazing what can be done. It is amazing what the human mind is able to do. And if you don't believe it, you really have to talk to somebody that has the talents. And don't go to what we call a neon psychic that has the neon sign out front, you know, psychic readings. 9 out of 10, they're going to do parlor tricks on you. They're going to take your money, they're going to walk away, and you get to stand there with this empty spot of what the hell.
Well, I was actually talking to my uncle had stopped into my work a couple days ago, and we were talking about it, and I thought this was kind of interesting because I didn't think about this in this way until it was actually physically coming out of my mouth, and then I started to listen to what I was saying. And not that I was just stealing shit out of my mouth, that wasn't it, but it was the way the conversation went, and as I was talking more about it, it started to make the ideas that were coming to my head started to make sense. It's not that a parlor trick neon psychic is actually a bad thing. And I know you're probably like, where in the absolute hell is he going with this? And I'm going to feed you, baby birds. Don't worry. It's if that person says something that means something to you, like a therapist, of, oh, I see a lot of money in your life and you're going to be a successful author, for example. It doesn't mean that that's what they are actually seeing. That's what they're telling you of the information that they read from you, not like read physically of by reaction and all that stuff, but in the belief of you as the person across the table getting the reading from the quote-unquote neon psychic who's full of shit, that means something to you. That in turn, if you were starting to hit a wall like, oh, you know what, I don't see this going anywhere, that gives you positive reinforcement through the lies and the bullshit that this person's feeding you, that you are actually going to try harder to get to that level.
This is so one thing that...
Hold on. It's not necessarily a bad thing. If you go in there to try and prove somebody wrong and like, oh, yeah, we're at a bachelor party or bachelorette party. Oh, let's go see a psychic and see what they have to say. You're just doing it for fun and don't take anything out of it. You probably wasted $200. But if you're going in there genuinely looking for an answer or looking for guidance, even if they're full of shit, it's still going to give you, mentally, it's going to give you the positive reinforcement to keep your drive and keep going forward. So, and even maybe try a little harder than what you were before. So, yeah, I really can't say that it's a bad thing, depending on the situation. Does that make sense?
I know with the event that Dennis was at, that we've been talking about the remote, and he probably will remember this, but my wife did a session with one of the psychic readers there, and it did not go very well. I'll put it that way. When she came out, she was very, very upset with it, and it was more or less relating to our relationship. And, you know, my wife and I have a very tight, close relationship. We've been together almost 25 years. So it really hurt her for this woman to sit there and say things that she was saying. First of all, Dennis knows that my wife may have some abilities to her. She doesn't know how to use them yet. And she may have put, she had the force shield up. So this psychic couldn't read her. She couldn't read her at all. But so she decided to pull out the old card trick and started reading cards instead on her. because she couldn't read her. And like I say, it was one of those things that really worked hard on her. And that was back in April. And I know it took a little bit of time for me to relax her about the whole thing. Over that, it took her a couple months to get over that thing. So she said she would never do it again.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying it's positive in every aspect. No. It's just it depends on the person's
right.
mental capacity. If it's something that has to do with their, if it's a passion that they're going for, something they're trying to do, and they're starting to get to that, there's no hope for this.
Right.
It's basically just I should keep going because this person said it. Whether it turns out or not, it's just going to make them try harder to reach their goal. If somebody's sitting there saying, your husband's cheating on you and you should leave him and you should get a divorce because it's just going to end badly and this and that. No, fuck that. That's horrible.
Yeah.
You shouldn't, if you're truly scamming somebody, you shouldn't dive into a personal life situation like that.
Yeah, that's me. I understand. Yeah, I agree with you on that a lot.
And this is one of the things that scares me so bad when I see we have a caller on the board, but caller in the 304 area code, stand by and we'll be with you as soon as I get done with this. I'll jump over and talk to you for a moment. But this is one of the scariest things. Or Matt, you can jump over and screen if you want. But this is one of the scariest things. Oh, that's right.
And then my battery is dead. My battery is dead. I can't get to the board, so.
That's okay. I got it. I'll get it in a moment. 304, stay with us. But this is one of the scariest things for me, even though doing this remote for you at Mount Eagle Farms, it meant nothing personal to anybody. This is what I see about the farm. This is the individuals that I run into. These are the energies and the spirits that I interact with. This is what I see. It meant nothing personal. There is always that one person that goes, well, what can you tell me about me? Who's around me? And as soon as they start leading into, and I'll shut them off right there. I don't want to know if you were going to finish it with my mom, my dad, my aunt, my uncle, my great-grandmother, my grandfather, whatever. Don't finish that sentence. If you're sitting across the table from somebody that is supposedly able to read you, shut up. Don't feed them any information. And the part that scares me the most is sometimes I do get information that I don't want to tell somebody. It would hurt me personally to tell them this, even though I don't know them. I had one that, I'm going to have to get into my emotion again. I had a woman that I hadn't met prior to this. There was an event. I was talking about what I was able to do. And she said, well, can you tell me anything about me? And I had a young man behind me telling me, tell her I love her. And she didn't have anything to do with it. I just felt it was time for me to go. Well, what had happened was this woman's child had committed suicide. He was about 21, 22. But he was standing behind me. And I stopped him there. I heard him there. But I didn't want to just randomly tell this woman that I didn't know her child had committed suicide. I didn't know who the spirit was behind her. I didn't know who it was telling me these things. And there was no way I was going to look this woman in the eye and go, I have your son standing behind me, and he tells me that he's terribly sorry, and then he loves you. And you had nothing to do with him taking his own life. How do you tell a parent that you are... How do you tell a parent that you are doing something that they would give their own life to do again? You are talking to their child. Most parents that have lost a child will tell you that they would give their own life to do that again. I'm looking at this woman, hearing her child behind me talk to her, talk to me, and I can't tell her. I don't even know that she's lost a kid. I don't know that it's her kid. But how do you look a parent in the eye and say, well, I am listening to your child right now, and he's telling me he's very sorry? Those are the times that I really wish I didn't have the abilities that I have. Because the uncertainty in it, the pain in it, and the emotion that comes with it sometimes is unbearable. But to look a parent in the eyes that has lost a child and tell them that your child is right behind me telling me what to tell you, I can't do that, even to this day. As strong as I am in my belief and as strong as I am in my abilities and as good as I am in them. And, Lyle, you'll vouch, I'm pretty damn good in them.
Yeah.
How do you tell a parent that your child is standing here talking to me? Crap, and the board just blew up. Matt.
The board just blew up?
Uh-oh. Well,
hello, Matt.
Hang on. All right, Matt dropped
the
camera. I think I just brought him back. There you are.
Yeah, I'm back now.
Okay.
America's most reliable network, my ass.
But, hey, Matt, do me a favor. I'm going to jump over and stream. I realize you missed part of that because I saw you drop off the board, but, well, I didn't see when you dropped off. But I'm going to drop over and stream, catch this call out of the 304 area code, and Lyle, feel free to comment about what I just said. I'll be right back, folks.
Well, to me, it's just, I mean, I don't see how what Dennis was sharing, I don't know if you heard him, Matt, when he was talking about it, and it sounds to me like he's really emotional about it, too. I mean, I can't imagine having that ability to have people actually talking to you like that all the time. It just, you know, my wife is, like I say, my wife is starting to understand some things that's been pointed out to her, and I know she's come home from work, and she's told me, she says, you know, because she works right across the street from the hospital here in the area, and she says that all she can hear is chitter-chatter a lot. So it wears her out. She's like, man, could you please just shut up? She said, I don't want this. It's like, You know, and I can't relate to it. You know, I don't have it. So, I think
Everybody has it to a certain extent. Like, there was one night that, and this is not long after Dennis started to accept and work on honing his abilities. So, I mean, he was still in, I guess you can say, the prepubescent stage of ability.
Right.
And, you know, I'm here in Chicago. He's there in Richmond. And he's like, well, you know, it's kind of like, you know, one of those cool new toys, like, here, you know what, this is awesome. Why don't you play with it a little bit and see how you like it? Well, we did a thing where I was sitting at my house, Dennis was at his house, and he's like, all right, well, what I want you to do is I want you to focus on this, I want you to focus on that, and it was something pretty simple to where he's like, well, you know, Hope's sitting over there, his wife, he's like, Hope's sitting over there on the couch. What's she wearing? And so I started thinking about it, and I mentally saw her position. I saw how she was. I pictured his living room for a split second and saw what she was wearing and then told Dennis, and I was right.
Wow.
So, and then Dennis and I got yelled at.
That's hard.
I didn't get yelled at. I got my ass chewed.
And so did I.
Wait, you know, as you were saying, Matt, I think, you know, everybody has a little bit. I think the more that you're into this field, the more that you've done many investigations, you learn that sense when you are around something. You know when something's there. I feel like I have that kind of sense. I can't look and tell you exactly what it is. I have the feeling a lot of times with that, but I can't go any farther. I don't hear the, you know, people don't talk to me, the things that, you know, other people have, but I have learned to be able to sense it more than, you know, when I first started out. So it does come with the, you know, you definitely got to investigate quite a bit to be able to start learning that sensation. But that's about the only I have.
Well, that electrical feeling that you pick up in your body, everybody gets it from time to time. The difference is you begin to understand it and you begin to have explanation for it. And that was kind of how I began to understand my abilities.
Right.
I mean, we all have, to an extent, some abilities. Even the fact that just picking up energy change in that room. I mean, if you walk into a room and you feel the electrical charge, that in itself is a bit of an ability. To be able to interpret that and understand it, that's when you have accepted what you can do. And you know, that was one of the hardest things for me to do because, like I said, I've had abilities for years. I just didn't know it.
Right.
And to say all of a sudden, overnight, I developed abilities. Now you're full of shit. You didn't develop them overnight. You had them all along, you just blocked them, or you didn't understand them, or you didn't accept it as what it was. Now, I'm going to bring in a caller that we have that, if you look on Facebook, you will find Jake Fife or the Paranormal Paranormal Explorer. Jake, are you in with us?
Yes, I am.
Hey, Jake.
Hi.
What's going on, Jake?
Not much. And to correct you, it's Virginia Paranormal Researcher.
Okay. Well, you're welcome to correct me. I've been wrong the time as well.
Hey, you're all right.
Now,
yeah. CPR meets BPR.
That's right.
Now, if I could say one thing, if I could say one thing about psychics, it's I have to know a psychic, like know them well, in order to fully trust their abilities. Because I'll admit I'm a bit skeptic on psychic abilities, because I've had experiences of my own to where some people will call it psychic abilities, and it's one of those things I'm not fully able to understand, and I'm still questioning it a bit.
Okay. Now, let me throw a scenario at you and see what your opinion is.
All right.
By the way, Jake, how long have you been into the paranormal?
Let's see, I'm 14 years old, and I've really, let's see, if you count just going around with a camera asking questions, 5 years old. But if you count really into it, about a year and a half. But I've been pretty much in and out of it all my life since I was about 5 years old.
Right. Now, there was a reason at 5 years old that you started in this. There was something.
Well, we lived in a house, and all my life I've known nothing but haunted houses.
I've started in a van.
But I've had experiences all my life, and I'm a Christian. That is my religious beliefs, and I've had a lot of people tell me, why are you into this? It's against the Bible. And I'm like, well, when I was young, I had experiences which I couldn't explain, and they terrified me, and some of them even hurt me. And I found this, and now I'm able to get answers. And I just want to help other people, and I want to find the truth.
Okay. Well, let me ask you something, and this is going to be a point-blank question.
Mm-hmm.
What's a ghost?
A ghost, I think, is a person who died, and for some reason, they are here on Earth. They have come back, whether it's they've died quickly and they don't know they're dead, or they have unfinished business, or if they just want to come back and communicate. Maybe in the afterlife, they have found a way to where they can come back to living and are able to communicate with us.
Okay. Well,
I think some do and some can't.
I'll give you kudos on that. Now, let's try this one. What's the difference between a ghost and a spirit? Because I think what you just described is a spirit.
Yeah, I get the two mixed up.
Well, it's bound to happen because here's a true and frank statement.
Mm-hmm.
There's no definition.
Nope.
Nobody that you talk to can give you a straight definition. A spirit...
No one knows for sure. I had my brother ask me yesterday. He said, Jacob, how do you know all of this stuff? How do you know it's real? How do you know you're right? And I said, no one 100% knows for sure. We're just going on evidence and just what we've run across experiences and other people's experiences. No one truly knows what a ghost does, how they act, what they sound like. No one knows. And so we're just going on different information from past experiences either we've had or other people have had to get this information.
So let me ask you something. What is your opinion, if you're in a location and you see a shadow move across, it blocks out a light through a doorway or a window or whatever. Was that a ghost or was that a spirit?
Hmm. That's a tough one, because usually when I see shadow, to me, in my opinion, I don't have a difference between a ghost and a spirit. Now, there are little things, I'll give it that, but honestly, I don't see too much of a difference, in my opinion.
Well, here's what I've always thought, and I sent this to Dennis as well. When you try and dissect the difference between a ghost and a spirit, it's more Hollywood and theatrical has called it a ghost.
Yeah.
Which is a generalization. A spirit is an energy of the deceased. And
yeah.
That's like, you know, I mean, if you look through all the different races, religions, and creeds and all that stuff throughout the world, every social and even external, like, bush people or people live in the jungle, all that, you know, just depending on their
yeah.
beliefs, everybody has a name or an idea of what a ghost or a spirit is.
Yeah.
In that definition, it almost sounds like I'm saying, well, if you call it a ghost, then you just haven't done your homework. And that's not exactly true. But the difference between ghost and spirit, it's subjective. That's my personal belief, is ghost is just a generalization for something creepy, something weird. If you call it a spirit, then that has to do a lot more with the soul and the energy of how the body works. And
yeah.
a lot of people don't want to recognize that. So ghost to me is a generalization. It's a dramatization of what an entity, a spirit, a, you know, shadow figure, all that kind of stuff. It's an easy term, but it doesn't really mean anything.
Yeah.
Well,
but I always thought was...
Let's throw this same one over to Lyle. Lyle?
Yes.
What is a ghost?
I never really refer to it as a ghost anymore. You know, back when I first started this stuff, you know, I always thought a ghost. But, you know, I relate to it more as a spirit form. You know, but everybody has their, like Matt's saying, everybody has their own terminology. I do look at ghosts as possibly being, you know, like it is a commercialized thing. Ghost tours, ghost haunts, you know, things like that. It's more commercial.
Ghost hunters,
being,
ghost adventurers.
Yeah, it's commercial. It's commercial. It's talking about, it's in other words, for spirits, you know. People don't really want to hear spirit adventures. You know, ghost sounds a lot better. But we know by being investigators in this field that we're looking for spirit forms, really. You know, I think that, you know, all shadow forms, I just relate to them as spirits. That's just the way that we do it. So, but, you know, I don't look at it as right or wrong. I just kind of follow it like what Matt was saying in commercial when you talk about ghosts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll just say this. I'm not, most of the shows, ghost shows, I'm not a big fan of. The only one I ever really got onto was Ghost Hunters, and now I'm starting to get off their train. I just don't like the ghost shows. They just don't seem legit to me, like legit investigators. And I know Jason Hawes and Grant Wilson, head of Ghost Hunters, they seem like actual investigators, as to where everyone else seemed more money than ghost.
Right.
Well, there's truth and there's not to that, and I will tell you from personal experience and knowing a lot of those people from the shows, you got to take the shows for entertainment value. Don't take the people on the shows for their credibility.
Mm-hmm.
Just because the production company, when it goes to the cutting room floor, they take 3 days worth of material and cut it down into a 42-minute episode.
Yeah.
So, and what?
17.
If it's an hour-long show, how's it 17 minutes?
Well, because they hit two locations on that one-hour show.
Not always.
And
sometimes it's sometimes it's a single location. So anyway, big argument. Call
but
it,
you
call
get 17 minutes of air per half hour is about all you get. So you may have 34 minutes in a one-hour show.
And
I'm
a lot
backing
of the people
up
who are,
what you said.
Yeah, and a lot of people who are on those shows don't have any artist control. It goes to the production team afterwards, and the people who are on the shows, they don't see the episode before it actually, or they see the episode when we see it when it airs.
Yeah,
right.
So I mean, like for Dennis and I who were out at Parafest in Pennsylvania, I mean, we hung out for a long time with Grant. And
we hung out with Grant, Steve, and Dave for a long time.
And Bruce, and also the guys from, like, pretty much, you know, everybody from most of the shows is there besides Zach, Nick, and Aaron. And we got to hang out with Jason Gates and Brian Cainhill from Haunted Collector. So, I mean, you know, we for a whole weekend and during the after parties and all that stuff. What... None of them are happy of how their shows actually go.
Yeah.
It's just they have to get what's presented to them and deal with what gets aired.
Speaking of all the people that we met, I do have to give a shout out, and I'm going to interrupt this awesome conversation. Christopher St. Booth, Rachel, congratulations on the vows. I wish you both hundreds of years of being perfectly happy together. And the reason I say hundreds of years, I know y'all are going to haunt the hell out of each other. But thank you both so much for being such sweet people. And Christopher has been on the show with us a couple of times. Just wonderful people. But I wish you all the best on behalf of Full Spectrum Radio, on behalf of the URN Radio Network. I know we all speak as one voice in saying many, many, many happy years together.
Yes, I completely agree with that. Oh, hey, speaking of ghost tours and stuff like that. What about Nola?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you. Hey, Jake, have you ever been to New Orleans?
No, I have not.
All right. Well, listen, I have to throw a plug in here, but I want you to listen to it. And if you get the chance to go to New Orleans, you have to check out these people because they're awesome.
Is that the Nola Ghost Tours?
Yes, it is. So
stand by and let me play
this. And all right, we'll be right back, folks.
All right.
Going to New Orleans for the weekend, for vacation? Are you wanting to take a ghost hunting tour but tired of the same old walking tours where you don't even get to go into the location and you're not even sure if the history is accurate? Well, call NOLA Ghost Hunting Tours. This team of guys are going to take you into a real haunted location where you're going to get to use the state-of-the-art equipment that ghost hunters use. Be the paranormal investigator. You get to work with an experienced, competent team of investigators and have the real, true paranormal experience. Experience the dark side of New Orleans. Call NOLA Ghost Hunting Tours. They have tours Friday through Monday. Tours start at 7 and at 10 p.m. For more information, call 504-708-3567.
All right, so if you're going to make it down to New Orleans, I recommend you hook up with NOLA Ghost Tours. Sounds like
yeah.
they got their shit together, and it's going to be a great time.
Yep. Now, I actually, a few months ago, got the chance to speak to Chris Melanson, and he is one cool guy, and I wish him nothing but the best of luck with those tours.
He used to host a show on our network.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, he was on Friday nights.
Oh, cool.
Yep.
But yeah,
and
I know him.
He got so busy that he just couldn't dedicate the time anymore. So now they have the GAC family broadcast on Friday nights.
Huh.
Chris was part of the URN radio network.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
So that's why we plug Chris on every program on the URN. But if you manage to make it down to New Orleans, I recommend you hook up with Chris.
All right.
NOLA Ghost Tours.
Now, real quick, I'll change subject. You mentioned the Haunted Collector. That reminded me of something. In May 30th, I think it was you or one of the others mentioned the Haunted Collector.
Yeah,
that would be good that it was either me or one of the others, because if it was somebody other than me or one of the others, we would be getting you some help, my friend.
Yeah, but that just reminded me, on May 30th, I got the chance to go up to Warrenology in Connecticut, and I got to hang out with Lorraine Warren and Tony Spera. And their Warren's Occult Museum.
Wow, that'd be great.
Yeah. And I just want to say this. I did, me and three other people, it was not on camera, we did see Annabelle the doll move.
Oh,
okay.
I wish you would have got that.
I would have loved to. And it wasn't like it was waving its hand high or anything. It was the right side of the doll's head, which if you're looking on pictures, it's its left. We saw the hair move as if there was wind inside the box. And it was only a few strands of hair just blowing as if it was in a hurricane. It was just whoosh. And me and the people, we listened to her like, did we just see that? And I still now, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Now, Jake, just out of curiosity, can you tell us what all you've done in the way of investigating? You mentioned that.
All right.
Pardon me.
If you don't mind, this might be a little long. All right.
All right. Well, if it's going to be a little long, then let's do this.
Yeah, I'll shorten it.
Okay.
Yeah. Mainly it started last summer towards August, because right now we live in a haunted home, and I've gotten over 110 EVPs in the home, most of them Class A. And it started, I had a dream one night, and the dream was I was in my house, and there's this one room that I believe is where the main portal is, and it's also where we had a cross fly off the shelf and break. And I had a dream that the door opened, and this weird-looking shadow person, weird-looking deformed, appeared. And me and my dad, we investigate, and we all ran. And I was pulled back into the bathroom, and the door was shut. And all I remember was just darkness. And that was the end of my dream. And after I had that dream, I started researching a bit into it. And then in September, since I'm homeschooled, so I've got a lot of free time. And my mom and dad took me to the Ghost of Stanton walking tours. And I got the chance to meet some of the Black Raven paranormal people, Marty Seibel, Don Rogers, and all them. And they showed me the spirit box PSV7 for the first time, and I loved it. And ever since then, I've been doing some investigations. Like my first one, January 9th of this year, at the train station for about an hour, 11:45 till about 12:45, we got some freaky stuff. And I did check out the All Saints Church Cemetery in Pawleys Island, South Carolina. I got some interesting stuff there. And according to me and the church lady who works there, I might have solved an old mystery. And I also had the chance to investigate a few really old cemeteries. And I'm probably going to New Market Battlefield sometime soon. That'll be my next investigation.
All right, so in the overall, how many investigations have you actually done?
Let's see. I'd say probably actual ones, probably... Now, if you're talking about like a professional, I'd say probably one, and that was April this year.
Now, what do you mean by professional?
Well, I mean, like the, well, I wouldn't call it professional. I call it professional, like equipment set up and with a team, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
There's really no such thing as professional.
Yeah.
I know, but it's just what I call it. Yeah.
Well, where was that one at?
That was up at Montgomery Hall Park in Stanton, Virginia. That was on April 9th, I believe was the date.
All right. Now, how about what you call unprofessional, which, like Matt and I just agreed, there's really no professional. I tried to sign up through Virginia Commonwealth University and through University of Virginia and through every big college here to take Paranormal Investigating 101. They didn't offer it. So apparently I can't be professional in this. So,
Steven, when I was going to USC for psychology, when I was getting my degree, they didn't have two things. They didn't have parapsychology, hint, hint, and they also didn't have paranormal investigation. Go figure.
Huh.
Right. So to be a quote-unquote licensed parapsychologist, it's kind of hard if no school actually offers parapsychology.
There's six in the world.
Well, Matt, what is your degree?
Abnormal psychology and sociology.
Okay. Now, abnormal. Wouldn't that also be para because it's scientifically unexplainable psychology?
That is not true. Abnormal psychology has to do with stuff that's a lot more than... it's all the manic stuff, everything that has to do with the extreme of human psychosis. So if you have, more like, delusional schizophrenia, stuff like that, not.
Degree available for a parapsychologist?
From six universities in the world, there are. That's pretty much about it. Most of the other stuff is kind of just self-proclaimed.
So, Jake, I'm not poking fun at you, brother. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
So when you say, like, professional investigation, there is no such thing. So now, given that there are... is no such thing as a professional investigation. I mean, we all go out with the anticipation, and we all have a buttload of equipment, even if the only thing that we have is a recorder in our hand. How many have you been on?
A lot. A lot. I'd say at least 15 to 20, which I don't get around to much because we are busy a lot, but I do at my house. I do a lot outside. But I have a lot of sessions. And when I talk about professional, I mean, in my thinking, professional means going out with an actual team and setting up equipment for a few hours. That's what my thinking of professional. And then there's really no unprofessional. There's more of doing your own, just taking a recorder and some equipment and just doing your own thing out of like a cemetery or some historical spot or anywhere else. That's what I'm thinking of when I say a professional investigation. Going out with people who have done this for years and pretty much doing that.
Yeah, but we also know people who have done this for years and are complete hacks and jackasses as well.
Yeah,
exactly.
Matt, you beat me to it. I was going to say, Lyle?
Yeah.
I'm here. Can you define a professional investigation?
I'm sorry? Say it again.
Can you define what a professional investigation is?
I can't get the first word you said, Dennis.
Can you define what a professional investigation is?
I would say a professional investigation would be, now this is just my own thoughts. A professional investigation is people who have done this for years and they set up a bunch of equipment.
Jay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get this one from Lyle and see if Lyle can understand what it is. No, I'm trying to get this one from Lyle.
That's my
Lyle?
Bad.
All good.
I understand what your question was now. You know, it's hard to be classified as a professional. I understand where Jake's coming from because he's looking at experienced teams. I'd probably call him more experienced than I would call him professional. You know, with being in it and doing it for years. I can understand where Jake's relating to that. You know, he's looking at people that have done it for a while, so that's how he classifies it. But I think that, you know, I look at us as more of an experienced team. You know, we know how to use our equipment, we know what to do, but, you know, professionals, I don't really relate to it as that. I would say more like experienced. That's because you've done quite a bit. You learn how to do it the right way. And, and he's relating to another team that he was with right here in Stanton, Virginia. Marty's a great friend of mine. He's been in the field for a long time himself. And, you know, and I relate to them. They're all experienced paranormal investigators, and they do a great job. So I'm not going to pick him, you know, for staying professional or anything like that. I relate to it as being experienced. So.
All right.
Yeah, I'm not going to kick him. Hey, I have to interrupt. We have 1 minute left. Lyle, throw your plugs out real quick. You got about 25 seconds.
25 seconds. This Friday night, the Exchange Hotel, we have our tours and investigations. That night's already sold out again. August 9th, we'll be at a haunting at St. Albans. Our first event for a good while, we'll be a part of that one. The next night we'll be at the Clock Tower in Stanton, Virginia. We'll be investigating there. And then on the 16th of August, we'll be at the Halderman Mansion. That's what's coming up here within the next month for us. Plus, we're also going to have our first release of our first DVD, The Reign of Darkness, which was from Old South Pittsburgh Hospital.
All right. And, Jake, throw your plugs out real quick.
All right. Basically, I got none.
Okay, well, looking up on Facebook.
Okay, by plugs, what do you mean?
Like, your contact information, you know, like anything you want to put out there as far as.
Facebook at Jake Fife,
Okay. If you want to contact me,
Paranormal Investigator.
If you want to contact, Facebook.com/ Virginia Paranormal Researcher. That is my paranormal contact. And then I'm on and off on my email, but I'm usually active. And that is, kingfife31@yahoo.com. That is my paranormal email.
All right, there you go. Folks, we've had a great night. Lyle, I want to thank you. Please don't hang up, brother. We're going to finish this conversation. But we'll also, as always, go into archive. Jake, same with you. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't hang up. We'll continue this conversation in archive. Ladies and gentlemen, I apologize immensely for the late start for Full Spectrum Radio tonight. Blog Talk was having some issues on their telephony system, and they apologized profusely to us. But here we go. So, that's myself. I am CPR Dennis.
I am CPR Matt.
You can find us at Twitter and Facebook at those names, CPR Dennis, CPR Matt. You can also find us on Facebook at Chicagoland Paranormal Researchers. Right now we're having some issues with the carrier for the .com, but we'll get that one fixed and be back there in no time.
We'll be back up by next week.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us, and it's been another awesome episode of Full Spectrum Radio. Now, Jay, I hope you don't think that I was picking on you, young man, because I was not. I love what you're doing. For 14 years old, you're very well-spoken. You're very intelligent about it. I would love to share any knowledge, answer any questions that you have. You know how to reach me.
Yep.
Don't hesitate.
All right, and I think,
now,
and I could totally see what you mean, and thank you.
Now, one of the things that you said, one of the things that you said was that you had activity as a young child. What did you experience? Can you tell us what actually started you into this?
Well, when I was very young, the earliest experience I have was when I was about 5 years old, and we lived in this house in the mountains of West Virginia. And I had an ability, and I don't know if this will count, but it's a strange ability. I was able to pick up a phone, take it to my mother and father, and tell them who was going to call before they called, seconds before, and I would be right every single time. And when we moved out of that house, which was extremely haunted, I never had that ability, and I still to this day don't have that ability.
No, why do you think it was just that house?
Now, I was really young. I don't have way too many memories of the house, especially paranormal, but the few I have, I did, mainly it was shadows, and I don't know why they've stuck with me, but because we lived in an old house, really old house, and we did find out that an old man did die in the house, and I would see shadows coming up and down our little staircase we had, and I would wake up in the middle of the night, almost, I say 3-4 times a week, with nightmares. And when I would come out, I would hear noises downstairs as if there were a bunch of people moving around and talking. And there wasn't. It was 3 in the morning. And so I'd go to my mom and dad's. I'd be like, I'm having nightmares. And that would be it.
Now, the house that you're in now, judging from the style of what I see, was built in the 50s?
No, the house I was just describing was one we lived in years ago.
The house
the one
that
we live
you're in now.
the house we're in now was built in 1888, and it was built by a guy named Mr. Wolf, and he owned a bunch of the salt mines up in the mountains. And believe it or not, okay. He actually has some strange experiences, not in the house, but in his life. And I'm wondering if some of his experiences, strange in life, have carried over to the house, because he had the house built personally.
All right, well, the house that you live in right now had the part that you stay in was an addition in the 50s. What happened in the 50s that I see new building? Is your bedroom an add-on to it?
Well, see, the original house in 1880, the original one was mainly tore down, and they have not given us an exact date of when they pretty much remodeled the home. They just told us that they remodeled it. So I will have to get back to you on the date, but I do know most of the house is original.
Okay.
Hey, Dennis?
Yes.
Can I speak to Jake real quick?
Sure.
What you are getting right now is one of Dennis is giving you one of his remote views.
Mm-hmm.
That's why all these questions are coming at you. I don't think you were on the show. You might have been listening earlier when we were talking about it. So,
yeah.
He's usually pretty spot on when he gets to these things. So, he will freak you out.
I don't know. Some of the stuff I've seen.
One of the things that I have to ask, Jake, you know who the original owner is. You've seen pictures of him, I know.
I have not seen pictures of him. I have not seen pictures.
Okay. All right. Do not, and this I will get very adamant on, do not give me any information that does not pertain to what I state to you, okay?
Okay.
I'm tuning in on your location. I'm reading your house. I'm listening to what Spirit tells me. One of the things that I see is the old man that owned the home had a very wide nose. It was very flat. It was very wide. I see very heavy eyebrows. If I look at your home, I see a, room built off to the right-hand side. There's a large area built off of the house to the right-hand side. That's not original. To the left-hand side, the driveway comes up on the left. I see a large-ass pine tree out front, or evergreen, fern, whatever the flip that thing is, kind of a Christmas tree going bad. sorry. That's about the best way I can put it. It looks like a Christmas tree going to shit. But I see that on the left-hand side between the house and the driveway. You drive up to the house on the left, and as you're driving up the driveway on your right-hand side is this big, ugly-looking pine tree. At the back, the house faces left to right. You look at the front of the house. But at the back, I see a barn that faces back to front. You know what I mean? It's perpendicular to the house, and it's a rather large building. The front of that building faces the house. The back of that building faces straight back from the house. To the right of that was a small building. Um, 50, 60 feet over, it kind of looks like it was a small building. But it was very small. Like, I don't even know what the hell its use would have been. But it was very small. But there's still, like, a footing there from it. You can still see where that building was. I see a blonde woman is hanging clothes from left to right in the backyard between the house and that big building, the big barn. She's hanging clothes on the clothesline left to right. So that tells me that there's a pole at each end of the house. Not exactly at the ends, but you know what I mean. They ran the same way as the house. I look at the back of the house and I see a lot of glass. There's a lot of glass. Like there was a Florida room, an addition that was all glassed in.
Okay.
Am I on target?
Okay. Let me just say, real quick, you are probably about 10% right.
Wow, only 10%.
Yep, you are 100%. Well, I'd say about 90% correct about the tree. We do have a barn in the backyard, but it is facing front to back. And there isn't a small building except close to the house, really close. And I'd say it's about 100 feet, maybe a little more, from the barn. And we do not have any additions on the house.
Okay. Well, when I say additions on the house, I don't mean you put them there. I mean from the time the house was built originally, these have been added. So far, I'm dead on the barn. Correct?
Yeah.
So far I'm dead on the barn. Correct?
You're close. Real close.
Well, the house aims, I don't know if it's north, south, east, west. I don't have a compass to look at. I just see the house is this way, and the barn is a T from the house, but it sits quite a ways back. And it aims opposite of how the house aims. If the house aims east and west, then the barn aims north and south, or vice versa, whatever. Correct?
You are right that the barn... Yeah, you're right.
Okay. The small building that's looking from the back of the house at the barn, the small building off to the right of the barn, is if you walk out the back of the house, the small building is at the 1 o'clock position.
No.
Picture a clock dial. Where is the small building?
The small building is at the 10 o'clock position.
Why?
No, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Before we bought the house, about 2 years, there was... I'm sorry, I'm wrong. There was at one point a small building at the 1 o'clock position, but it burned down.
Okay.
But there was a building at the 1 o'clock.
And that's the one he's showing me. What else did you disagree with? Because right now I'm batting 1,000. I see your house, my friend. I hate to tell you this, but I see your house.
Okay.
Well, here's one question I have that Jake you haven't gotten into is the driveway.
Okay, the driveway is on the right of the house.
All right, Dennis,
you
now
are
you're
right.
Batting 1,000.
You are right. You are right about the tree in the front yard, and you're right about the back building. And at the 1 o'clock position, you are right about that. And you're right about the barn.
The driveway.
Uh-huh.
I know the driveway was on the left at one time. Can you do a research on that to see why the driveway was moved? But
I
know
look,
as I
but...
look from the road at your house, I know that driveway is on the left. Is there a portion on the left that has a lot of rocks?
Yes.
Okay. Could that have one time been the driveway, and for whatever reason it was moved to the right-hand side? Because I see that driveway is on the left.
I saw an old map about 5-10 years after the house was built, and according to our landlord, and it has always been on the right side. Always has.
Well, that just doesn't make sense.
Okay. Now, when you see my house, tell me what you see the house as.
Well, it used to be an old barn. It was a... Well, I don't see like a typical house roof. I see like the 1, 2, 3, you know, like the 4-angle barn roof, and that's what your roof looks like. It's mostly white, but the roof itself is like a gray, I think, but I see like barn wood on the face of it.
I'm sorry, but you're 100% wrong, sad to say.
Oh, well, it wouldn't be the first time. Now, when did it burn down?
Now, the house never burned. It's just the building you were describing at the 1 o'clock. It was a small garage at one point, and it burned down.
No, he said the building at the 1 o'clock burned.
Yeah, at one point the house was heavily remodeled at one point. But when they remodeled it, they put it back to its old shape, pretty much. They kept it as it was in 1880s. But the building you're describing at the 1 o'clock, it did burn down, and you can still see where the building was.
And your house didn't have the barn-shaped roof, because that's one of the things that sticks out at me the most is that barn-shaped roof.
Nope, it does not.
All right. Well, I've been wrong before. Now, how far back can you actually date the house?
Okay. The house, the oldest I know, is 1888. That is when it was built.
Okay.
Yeah, it's 1888. Yeah. Because we also have a neighbor's house that's almost as old as ours.
Well, if you can date it back to 1888, what was the plot line? Like, how much acreage is the property?
I'll be honest, I don't know too much about the acreage. I believe it's somewhere between 10 to 13, I'd say. It's big.
And that's what it currently is, or that's what it was like that.
It currently is. It's that size. I have no clue how it was when it was built, the size.
Oh, damn, man. You should have, like, four-wheelers and dirt bikes and stuff if you got...
Believe me, I'd love it. But, and believe it or not, I'm also really big into history, and I took, a few days ago, I even came up with an idea, what if a Civil War battle took place out in front of our yard, and I drew a map saying where the units were positioned, what they were, who they were, what did they, where did they move, who won, where did they retreat to, and all that stuff.
That's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Well, put it this way, there's not a lot of people your age that are big into history anymore, so that's actually kind of a nice thing to hear. One of my best friends here in Chicago is Ursula Bielski, you want to know anything about history? She has 3 master's degrees in history.
Wow.
That's like all she does.
Cool.
Remember that show Paranormal Challenge that was on that Zach used to have?
Don't think I've ever seen it.
Where they'd take the location, they'd have the 2 teams that would basically investigate at different times, and then the judges would decide which one was the better team?
I don't think I've ever seen that.
No. Well, it was only on 1 season because it was horrible. But Ursula was a judge on that show.
Oh, cool.
So if you ever look into the Chicago area at all, Baxter's Grove Cemetery,
mm-hmm.
That's one thing that her and I work on all the time.
Cool.
So we have fundraisers, we have restoration projects. So yeah, I'm right there with you on the history thing. We're doing a big thing on the Eastland disaster here.
Mm-hmm.
Which the Eastland was basically back around the turn of the century, there was a kind of a cruise ship on the Great Lakes that capsized in the Chicago River.
Wow.
And 814 people died.
Wow.
And we're only talking in, you know, 15 to 20 feet of water.
Yeah.
So it's the second largest maritime disaster next to the Titanic. It's the largest maritime disaster recorded in Great Lakes history.
Wow. Other than the Edmund Fitzgerald, right?
Well, the Edmund Fitzgerald only had a crew of 12.
Oh, yeah.
It was a cargo ship.
There were only 29 total lost on the Edmund Fitzgerald.
When we get up into the Great Lakes in that area, the only one I basically know about is the Edmund Fitzgerald. That's about it.
Yeah. That's the one that everybody knows about. But, the Eastland disaster, and it's kind of sad, and you love history as much as you do, and I even saw it when I was, this past weekend we took our boat out and went down Chicago River. When you pass by, there's nothing that's water-facing that talks about the Edmund Fitzgerald. If you go to the building of where the site, there's a small plaque, which is probably a 16 by 12 brass plaque that's on the building saying this is the site of the Eastland disaster. There was 814 people that died in it. Doesn't give any of their names, doesn't give anything, but it just says this is the site of where it happened. There's no memorials, there's no anything.
I wonder why. That sounds like it should be more known.
Yeah.
Well,
and
here's the trouble, though. Chicago doesn't even acknowledge the Valentine's Day Massacre.
Yeah,
they want
I've heard
those
that.
Parts of their history to be eliminated.
I'm guessing because back in that time, Chicago was active with the mob. You had Al Capone operating, and I'm guessing that they're trying to forget it. That's what my guess is.
Well, yeah, and you have Mayor Daley that went to prison recently.
And doesn't look good on their head.
Embezzlement.
Yeah.
That stuff has not gone away.
Yeah, it doesn't look good on their history. But, hey, Jake, let me ask you this. And I have to ask. One of the things that I mentioned about your house was the back room was, like, a lot of glass. Is there a, like, screened-in, glassed-in room on the back side of your house?
Yes, but it is windows. Oh. And that's our mudroom. It's almost,
okay.
it's facing the barn, and we have a total, other than the main house, we have a total of three other buildings on the property, and one of them at one point was the old caretaker's house.
Okay. And,
but yes, we do have a room with almost all windows.
Is it a three-season room or a four-season room, or is it just a
We use it to put our shoes in, basically. We don't ever use the front door. It's the room we always walk in because we use the back door. And I'll tell you what, not to get off, but one of the new things that I've noticed is when I mow the yard, sometimes I see things. And I'm not sure if it's the heat getting to me, but I can get 2 or 3 seconds, sometimes even 4 second glimpses of something or someone. And the one that freaked me out the most and freaked my family out was I was mowing the yard. And up close to the house, we have a sidewalk. And I saw a person with a hood on. And they looked like you would see in movies, Wizard almost. And it was purple robes with the hood on, just walking up. And I saw him for 6 seconds, just walking up with his hands folded in. And I was like, what the H is that? And I ran inside. That was one of the first times those visions have ever scared me. I was like, because that just looked pure evil.
Well, wait, let's back up just 1 second. What do you mean it freaks your family out, too?
Because in our house,
you tell them, or they see it too?
They don't see it. Now, I know me and my dad, we are the ones mainly who pick up on the stuff. And we have seen some freaky stuff in that house. And I know my parents and most of my family, they don't call it evil or anything like that, but I know for a fact. I can name you 2 or 3 occasions we have had a demonic evil entity in that house. Because probably the scariest, and that this goes along with it, and this is when I first knew, was there was 1 week I woke up for 6 straight mornings on my left leg with claw marks that looked like something had got me. And on the 6th day, it was bleeding and burning really bad. And within a few hours, it was gone. It looked like nothing was ever there. And I have witnesses to say they were there, and they would disappear within a few hours.
Now, have you had a, pardon me for this, but I can't help but poke fun and do it. Have you had a professional investigation done in your home?
No, we have never had any actual investigation in our home, other than me and my dad, we did a few spirit box sessions. And like I said earlier, we have over 110 EVPs in the home, most of them Class A.
All right. Well, I'm going to interrupt you for a minute, Jake.
All right.
I know you said you didn't want to interrupt this conversation, but, brother, I got to tell you, thank you so much for joining us. It has been a blast. Lyle Lotz, Twisted Paranormal. Thank you, sir. Team Twisted is welcome on our program any time you want to do it.
Thank you, bud. Well, I appreciate it. I thank you guys for being on. Jake, I look forward to meeting you one day, buddy.
All right, me too. It's been an honor talking to you.
It's a pleasure listening to your experience. And at 14 years old, you got a lot going on, buddy. So,
oh, believe me, we could spend hours, maybe even a whole day, talking about experiences.
I'm sure. I just have to get pretty early in the morning, so I'm going to have to leave the conversation. But, Matt, it's good talking to you again, buddy. I hope to talk to you guys again soon. And you guys carry on, continue your conversation. I just didn't want to interrupt it because it was getting really good. So, but I look forward to talking to you all again.
All right, sounds cool. Love.
Talk to you soon, Lyle.
Okay, thanks, guys. Y'all have a good night.
You too.
You too.
Lyle, I will always interrupt the conversation for you, brother. You have a great day. Next time you see that grandbaby, man, you give him a kiss
right
on the forehead for me on the third eye and let him know.
I will, bud. I'll get with you again soon, okay?
All right, brother. I appreciate it, man. Godspeed. Now, Jake.
Hold on. Did you just say Godspeed?
Yes, I did.
I didn't know it turned into an episode of Star Trek.
No.
You live long and prosper.
Hey, Matt, I'm going to do something that I don't normally do. Jake, do me a favor. I'm going to mute you just because I don't trust you to shut up. Sorry if I'm rude, but I've got a caller out of the 585. I'm going to bring this caller in just out of the random and see what the hell we have from the 585. I have no
We're
idea.
Still sticking
where
around?
At. Yes. Call it a 585 area code. You're on air with Full Spectrum Radio. Who have we got?
Hey, guys. This is Chad out of New York. How you doing?
Hey, doing all right, Chad. How are you?
Doing great, guys. Great. Just listening to the conversation. I have friends that are paranormal investigators. As a Christian, as a fundamental Bible-believing Christian, I have friends that are in this industry. They love it, and I can somewhat respect what they do because they've helped many people kind of get over their fears in their homes. So I applaud you guys that are out there doing those kind of things. But tonight I'm being sort of random, and I sort of want to challenge the paranormal investigators tonight and just find out and pick your brain a little bit and sort of bring up a debate that's been sort of on my mind, and I wanted to see what you guys thought of it.
Sure, go right ahead, Chad. We'll listen, we'll entertain, and we'll see what we can do to.
All right.
I heard about
four guys all respond to that, so this will be interesting. Okay, great. Well, I appreciate it, and you know, I hear a lot of paranormal investigators I know are what would call themselves believers. Okay, they would say that they're Christians. Would that be the same for you guys, or are you not so much spiritual people in the sense of religion?
Well,
Dennis, if you want to go ahead, Dennis.
Well, I'll start. I was going to throw it your way, Matt, but I'll go ahead. Chad, I'll tell you this right up front. I do believe that there is a higher power. I can grow a tree, but I can't create a seed that creates a tree. That tells me right off the bat that there is something higher than myself. How's that?
Okay. Anybody else want to respond to that? You guys are you guys Christians, not Christians, spiritual, not spiritual?
I was raised Roman Catholic. You know, I don't know what level of Christianity that you practice because there's so many derivatives of it.
Sure.
But
sure.
In the Roman Catholic. In the Roman Catholic religion. They,
it's
preaches
in heaven. No, I didn't have mute. Sorry, I said, oh, this can go so many ways, I thought I had myself on mute.
Well, in the Roman Catholic religion, it is belief that there is life after death. It is belief of that, depending on how you look at certain testaments of it, that there are possibilities of spirits walking the earth. and other aspects of Christianity, whether it being, you know, Lutheran, Catholicism, just straight Christianity, it's kind of a black and white, if not a very, very light shade of gray area. So to kind of give you an idea, I need to know what your what level of Christianity that you practice.
Well, I'm just a servant, a bond servant of Christ. I follow the Bible. I believe the Bible is inherent. I don't know if you could put a title on me. I'm just a Christian, fundamental. I've gotten on my knees in repentance and faith in Christ about 10 years ago. I realized I was a sinner. I was not good. As my whole life, I was defined good as the wrong biblical way. Really, the Bible describes us all as doomed because we've all broken God's law. If I were to ask you if you ever told a lie, every one of us would say, yes, I've told a lie. And I realized 10 years ago that, well, God doesn't look at lying the same way I would look at a lie. So, but anyway, I don't want to, that's a Bible story, that's a Bible study. Well, what I want to get into with you guys is I've been doing some studying on just on human beings and how we interact. And I got to start this off with a Bible verse. So those out there kind of slapping their hands on their face right now.
The Bible. Oh, go ahead.
The Bible is, oh. Okay. It starts with this. In Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, and I'm going to kind of paraphrase it for you, but what it says basically is that all people know God exists, because God has made his invisible qualities clearly seen, visible and invisible, so that so clearly he's made this that people are held without excuse. So I thought about that for a little bit, and I ran into a study on philosophy, and I got a really good teaching on it. And the more I thought about it, and this is going to be kind of a pun for you, but the more I thought about thinking and reasoning, the more I realized, I said, hey, my paranormal investigator friends, they're after things, let's face it, we can't 100% verify whether it's a real spirit, whether it's an illusion, whether it's a demon, right? In fact, the Bible says it's appointed for man to die once, and then after this, the judgment. So I would disagree with my Catholic friend here and say that I do not believe people can walk the earth. But that sort of brings me to my point. Have you guys ever considered a real paranormal entity thing, okay? A real, I'll be careful how I say this, a real reality.
I have seen a full-bodied apparition of an individual that passed away about 60 years before I ever saw him.
Okay. I understand.
I have seen that with my own eyes as plain as day, as if you and I were standing in the middle of the food court in a shopping mall. So if I can see a spirit that plain, that clear, and can describe what he's wearing, where do you go from there?
Well, I could tell you that many people have seen Mary, the Virgin Mother of Jesus Christ, and she told them, and this is reported in the Vatican, that she is the co-redemptrix of mankind, which directly contradicts the Bible. Now, I'm not saying that you're wrong. I think you're being very sincere of what you saw. But what I think is going on there, and this is kind of going off topic with what I was originally trying to go after, what I think is going on is that you could be, I think demons can easily sway the human person. And that sort of brings me to my point. If we're going after these paranormal things, right? We're kind of fascinated with demonology and poker dice and things like that. But have you guys ever thought of the connection that humans have to the immaterial reality? Things like logic, things like morality, which have to be necessary and universal and intelligent. Have you guys ever thought about what that is exactly and where it comes from?
Well, a lot of it, there's a lot of the stuff, and so I'm going to get to that in 1 second, but this is kind of a precursor of what you practice and what you believe. Obviously, when you're it kind of gives me just a gauge on your openness to a different approach. When you're in church, do you do the sign of the cross?
No, we don't do the sign of the cross. We open up our Bibles.
Okay. Well, I mean, in Catholicism, you know, it's the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, or some people say the Holy Ghost.
Huh?
Well, if you look at just that statement as a section, which most of the Catholic and Lutheran churches that I've been to are the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Well, that's
right. Yeah, we are triune. I mean, we definitely believe in a Trinity, but I think there's deeper problems when it comes to spirituality. And here's what we're facing, and this is what I'm getting at. If there's a such thing as a law of non-contradiction, what is the law of non-contradiction and where does it come from? Well, I can tell you what the definition is. The definition means opposites cannot be true at the same time in the same sense. So if Catholicism teaches spirituality allows, for instance, spirits to walk around the earth, but my faith says spirits in a human sense cannot walk around the earth, they're going to die and be either in heaven or hell. Now, one of us is right and one of us is wrong, but we both can't be right at the same time. So I guess my question is, have you thought about that in a logical, universal, and necessary sense? How could you be a paranormal investigator, believe what you're telling people about these entities, right? There's other faiths that are telling you opposite. Which one is true? Are you being deceived? Or are you telling people this is real? Or are you saying you cannot 100% verify it?
Well, here's another question. Can you 100% verify that God or Christ exists?
Yes.
So you've met them, you've experienced them, you've come in contact, and they've spoken with you directly.
Yes, through his word.
Okay, there's word, and there's
word.
Experience. That is quiet. There's word, there's experience, and there's belief, correct?
Right, well, yeah.
Well
there's
on,
many different
on,
aspects. I mean, for instance...
I understand. Hold on. Let me finish. So there's word, belief, and there's experience. Mm-hmm. So you've experienced bringing Christ into your heart, who speaks to you because of your belief. Does that mean, in fact, that it is 100% solidified truth, or do you believe that it's 100% solidified truth?
No, because if I were to just say, well, I just believe it, then I'm believing in blind faith. Remember, in Romans chapter 1, it says that God has made himself clearly known to us. If it wasn't just clearly, then I can't say, well, I mean, it's just my opinion based on my belief system that he exists. It's more than that. For instance, the laws of logic. When you look at logic, logic isn't something you could put in your hand. Now, I think that every one of you guys probably believes that. You probably don't believe it's a chemical in our head. You probably don't believe it's a, you know, some kind of thing you grow in a garden, you know. You believe that logic is immaterial. But when you look at logic in its fullness, it's the fact that it's necessary, it's unchangeable, and it's intelligent, then we're talking about a paranormal reality. And when I mean paranormal, I mean it's outside of our natural humanity. It is a connection between God and people. And the only reason we're able to use logic is because God really exists. So to answer your question, yes, he speaks to me through his word, but I also have plenty of evidence that he really does exist.
But logic is actually an evolutionary development.
So it's changed.
Logic has changed, and it changes every day.
So what was the law of identity before the law of identity today? How did it change? What did the law of identity look like millions of years ago?
We didn't have that capacity because we haven't had a mental functioning brain to study. But
how did we come up with conclusion?
I'll break it down into a very, very simplistic thing. Okay, man develops skills and break it down into hunting. Okay, so I throw a rock at animal dies, I get food.
Uh-huh.
That's
okay,
that
but did he react to his reasoning or did he react to his brain?
That would react to, I experienced this and I developed this idea and I showed one of my friends who said, hey, this is a good idea. We kill animal with rock, we get food.
Okay, but he's still using laws of logic. That hasn't changed. He picked up a rock, identified a rock. He saw an animal, wants to eat. He's identifying animals and eat. Okay, he's still using laws of logic. Even if I granted millions of years ago, which I don't agree with, I'm a creationist. Okay.
The laws of logic.
Even if that were granted, the laws of logic have never changed. And if they did change, I think that we would be in big trouble because that means people are not going to be able to communicate in a few years as evolution continues. And that's why it's so important to understand that, like things like laws. Okay, why did the law of gravity ever change? It stayed the same many, many years. People don't come up with that conclusion because it's unintelligible. In order to come up with intelligibility, you need to have an unchangeable, necessary, universal, intelligent laws of logic. Otherwise, we couldn't even have a conversation.
But the law of gravity has changed. There's scientists who are testing how gravity has an effect and what the actual brass tacks of gravity is right now because it's becoming up to question.
But dinosaurs that lived thousands of years ago didn't float to the moon when they were running around. As far as we know, gravity has not changed. But I will tell you, things you can't put in a science lab, like morality and logic, is a questionable thing. Here you guys are chasing, and I don't mean this out of disrespect at all, because again, I have friends who are paranormal investigators. I respect them. But you're chasing after things you can't verify, but I'm curious why you haven't thought about things that are truly paranormal, like something that's outside of you that's intelligent, like logic and morality. How do we know that love is love? Or good and evil are good and bad. How do we know that if we were just stardust bumping into stardust?
That comes down to chemical, neurological firing and receptor cells and dopamine and all the chemicals that work in our body to actually give us this feeling. The one thing that I will say is
person to person.
And it does. That gives me pleasure as far as chocolate. You may say I hate chocolate. Well, that makes me happy, but it doesn't make you happy.
but we're still identifying chocolate. That's sort of begging the issue here.
That was just a simplistic example. Here's something. All right, if you really, really, really want to dive into it. And I know before Vlog Talk cut this out, it's probably going to be maybe 7 or 8 minutes. So I'm going to make this quick for you. When it comes down to the level of compassion towards another human being versus somebody who has psychological issues and could be quote unquote considered a psychopath. There are certain ways to figure that out. 99% of the people are compassionate. It's built within our genes. It's built within our genetics. But there are certain levels of blocking which are in the frontal lobe and the vagus cortex, which is in the human brain, that the firing of the mechanisms work just a little bit different. And it also, those are also certain areas that have to do with logic and reasoning. Well, in those portions of the brain that have to do with logic and reasoning, it changes what your belief system is. Well, hold on. It changes what your belief system is. So, and also there's something called ingraining and imprinting, which is what you're grown up with, or if you have a traumatic experience, you believe that God saved you and Allah or Allah, or it doesn't matter who it is, whatever your belief system is and how you feel that you were found. There's a whole bunch of stuff that's going on in everybody's brain, which is a lot different. And
is it okay to be a psychopath?
Huh?
Is it okay that I'm a psychopath?
How are you a psychopath?
Well, I mean, would it be okay if I'm a ravenous murderer and psychopath? Would it be okay that I'm rape children for fun? Would that be okay?
I'm not saying that it's okay. I'm saying what's different is you're taking it to an extreme. I'm just saying that there's for what
well
for the
point,
chemical
hold on,
makeup
let me,
of
let me,
power.
Let me qualify this. Let me qualify it. Okay. The reason I'm bringing this up is because by coming to the conclusion that we're brain chemical reactions, we're just sort of reacting to a previous natural cause, then that means we really cannot verify whether somebody who's a psychopath or versus somebody who is normal, well, what's normal? How are you, what standard of morality are you using if all we are just chemical reactions? It's really, what you're talking about is really just your opinion versus somebody else's opinion. I think raping children is wrong. Well, somebody around the world can say raping children is right. Well, if there's no God and no standard of good and evil that's universal and unchangeable, then we can't verify whether or not raping a child is right or wrong. You get what I'm saying? So what you're talking about is your brain reacting to those things, and I agree with you. Okay, I agree with you. But is your brain the one causing you to do these things, or is your brain reacting to your thinking? And that's the debate tonight, is in a metaphysical sense, in an immaterial reality sense, does that really exist? And if so, where does it come from?
You know what? I have an idea, and I'm not just trying to, like, brush it off or anything like that, but we're not going to get anywhere unless this actually happens. But, and since you have paranormal investigator friends, what I want you to do is I want you to go on an investigation with them to a place that is notoriously, quote-unquote, haunted. If you listen to a different show to where we actually talk about procedure and ideas and dynamics and beliefs and all that kind of stuff, that we probably wouldn't even be having this conversation. But what I want you to do for an educational thing for you is I want you to be open. I want you to go out with them and see what they get, listen to what they get, watch what they get, any of that stuff.
Yeah.
And
well,
make
I'm not doubting you guys are getting anything. I'm not
saying that, but for what this conversation, because we can keep, well, if Blog Talk let us, we can keep going on for hours about this. But what I want is before, if you have your educational belief about Christ and God and all that stuff because of stuff that you've done, what I want you to do is kind of put yourself in our shoes and then make your determination from there, which will give you a better grasp on the idea and the concept. And then, I'll set up a whole show where you can get in contact with me, call us back, and we'll have a whole two-hour episode about what you experienced and what your determination ideas are about it. I would honestly welcome that.
It would not change my belief, but I would be entertained to go with them and find out what they do. Like I said, I appreciate what the paranormal investigators do, but the debate is not even a debate what they do exactly. It's just about we get excited about poker dice and demons, but we don't get excited about is the things of God. And I represent God tonight. I'm representing Him to the highest form, in a sense that I'm His ambassador. So I'm telling
let me back you up again a couple of sentences. We don't get excited about poltergeists and things like that. Mm-hmm. They are.
Well, you wouldn't have the radio program if you didn't get excited about it, though.
They are.
You're preaching the wrong choir there, brother.
Yeah, they're frightened.
What exactly do you have a radio program about then?
I don't want to encounter a poltergeist activity. I don't want to encounter demonic activity. I want to be able to speak with spirits that are of those that have passed on. Now, when I do a remote view, that's all I do. I speak with spirits that have passed. I look at a location that I've never been to that may be hundreds or even thousands of miles away. It doesn't have a damn thing to do with what my religious belief is. It has to do with
whether
or not
spirit wants to. I think that's dangerous, bro. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Well, it may be. We have a minute and a half.
Yeah, that's dangerous. You can't verify what you're talking about.
We have people that help us with that stuff. And who are actual clergy members.
Matt, shut up.
Yeah.
Chad.
Go ahead.
Find us on CPR Matt and CPR Dennis and make communication with us there. But Blog Talk is wanting me to have 60 seconds left right now. So,
What's the name of it?
Chad, I am going to mute you before Blog Talk throws us out. But make sure that you connect with us because I do want to finish this and I want to spend 2 hours on air with you. So I'm going to mute you right now. You'll hear the voice telling you muted. Send me a Facebook request at CPR Dennis. Send one to CPR Matt. All right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
All right. Thank you, brother. Thank you for calling
in. All right.
In.
You guys take care.
Jake,
yeah.
I want to thank you for calling in, brother. Throw your plugs out there. You got about 10 seconds.
All right. You can contact me at facebook.com/Virginia Paranormal Researcher, or you can contact me at king531@yahoo.com.
There we go. Check us out at CPR Matt, CPR Dennis, Facebook. Also find us on Twitter at the same, and Mark. We have now gone into archive. Now, if
archive, we're almost done.
Well, I don't know, dude. Keep in mind that it jacked us around at the beginning of the show, so that threw us into an extended show. I really don't know what the hell we have, but. I know that's still showing on the board. We're still in archive at this point.
Let's just close it out so we don't end up just in the middle of a sentence about something and talking. So
exactly, this has been a crazy ass show. But Chad, I appreciate you taking the time to join us. Make sure to look up myself and Matt, CPR Matt. CPR Dennis, make sure to look us up and hit us on Facebook. We will definitely continue this. I would love to continue this conversation. And I have one of our very dear friends that will also join us on this. You may or may not know her, but she is Christina Rake. She is awesome. But at this point, ladies and gentlemen, this has been an off-the-hook show. It started out kind of slow, and it is what it is. you know, Blog Talk cruises from time to time. But I'm glad that you stuck around. If you're still at us and still listening at this point, thank you so much. We look forward to talking to each of you next week right here on URN Radio Network. Full Spectrum Radio, man, what can I say? It goes wherever the hell it goes. So what do you think, Matt? Play us out with a little, what kind of music do you want me to play us out with, brother? Matt dropped. All right, so let's see. You know what? I think we're going to go with a little bit of Eddie and the Moondoggies. Good night, folks.
They came on so loaded, man. Well hung in Snow White Town.